الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المخلوق سيد الأنبياء والإمام الأنبياء المرسلين خاتم النبيين محمد النبي الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه صلاة تنقذنا من هول يوم الأرض والحساب. أما بعد، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي زدني علما وارزقني فهما. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله، last week we concluded مكتوب 62 from volume 1 of مجدد ألف ثاني إمام رباني شيخ أحمد سرحندي الفاروقي الحنفي نور الله مرقده. Noble and blessed epistles, letters. And you will recall, those who have been attending the durus and the lessons of the maktubat, that alhamdulillah, I think we completed 14 lessons for one maktub. And much more could have been said regarding it, because that's how much ocean of knowledge there is there, and we'll still only be, though comprehensive, we can never say we've done justice to the works and the words of such great luminaries as our great 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 grand grand Sheikh, Sheikh Mujaddid al-Afsani, alhamdulillah Ali, and nor should anybody claim such a thing. Yes, we do khidmah of it in the best possible way, as we studied every letter, every epistle, every maktub with our Shaykh. Alhamdulillah, and through Allah's fadl and through the sincere talab, seeking and desire to seek from the likes of brothers and sisters such as yourselves and those who make rabta to do so, Allah grants the ilm and the ma'arif to open up accordingly. You will also recall that in Maktub 62, Mujaddid al-Thani rahimullahi ta'ala alluded to another letter that he had written previously, where the words were, "You may refer to my previous letter where I have detailed the explanation of the difference between jazm and suluk." Okay, this Maktub 62 was a primer for what we're about to study. And this is a very in-depth, this is one of the longest letters that Mujaddid al-Thani rahimahullah ta'ala wrote. Now, do you think that he wanted to waste time? Of course not. Did he have time just to write? He had nothing better to do, let's write. No, he was doing the tarbiyah of a nation. Allahu Akbar. His personal worship, tahara, and states of dhikr constantly, his ihya of sunnah, his reviving of the sunnah, all of these things, and at the same time doing personal one-on-one tarbiyah through letters, through tawajjuh, through majalis, through halaqas. He was doing all of this. So these mashayikh, these awliya, they don't waste a single breath in ghafla or heedlessness, let alone writing pages and pages of a letter. So it must be something very important. Indeed, Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi says, "I consider this to be such a big problem that I have to write about it." And this problem he spoke about, he's not speaking about it in the general sense. He's talking about the Naqshbandi tariqah. He saw this problem in the Naqshbandi tariqah back then. Allahu Akbar. So now, hundreds of years later, the problem is now even worse. And we are even more in need of studying this maktub, because people are mistaking jazb and suluk. That's why, because you have now, all of you have been, alhamdulillah, acquainted with Maktub 62 to some degree, this will be much easier to understand, because there's a lot of technicality, but it shouldn't put you off. It should get you excited. Allahu Akbar. Talking about Allah's sifat, His asma, Ismim Rabbi, What is the what are the words? Where do they, which realm do they take form in? How do we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it mean to have shuhud of these things? So the maktub that we're going to study is maktub number 287. Right? بمية غلام محمد دربيان جذب السلوك ومعارفي كمناسبين دو مقام أن. This is Farsi with I will translate. I won't read the whole Farsi out again. I will just read the maktub. We'll study the maktub inshallah ta'ala, and then we'll try and get a PDF format sorted out so you have the materials to be studying this course. This is just an intro so that we know what we're going to be dealing with inshallah ta'ala. It's a very beautiful maktub when you go into it. This maktub itself, this khadim, this faqir, studied with our sheikh not once, not twice, but several occasions, just this maktub. And Allahu Akbar. And I asked many questions from our sheikh at that time, and he answered many questions. And in answering those questions, he wrote many books. Just to answer those questions, which we'll be giving names and details of at the end of the course, inshallah ta'ala, so that people can benefit from it. Khair, so this letter was written and directed to Mia Ghulam Muhammad. That's his own brother. That's Mujaddid al-Thani, alhamdulillah, his own brother. For those, I'm sure most of you knew that. But that's his own brother, Allah. It's about 17 pages. So the translation, I'm doing my own translation in English, so I'll just give you the English. As has been noted, as has been noticed, meaning by who? Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi, saying, I have noticed something. As has been noticed, those on the path of tariqah, meaning the science of tasawwuf, due to their lack of willpower and due to their diminishing himma, courage, and the lack of Shaykh Kamil wa Mukammal, as there are very few of those now. Is talking about back then. As a result of this, in the path, in the path of Suluk, the long path and the grand and high maqams, meaning the great destination, the objective, meaning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is what he's alluding to, and conforming to the sunnah, so that the life becomes harmonious and equal, and equilibrium is reached, it becomes balanced, everything makes sense, right? The heart is never perturbed. That's what he's speaking about. As has been seen and noted, that those who are students of the path of tariqah and tasawwuf, due to the lack of willpower, and lack of courage, and the unavailability of Shaykh wa Kamil al Mukammal. This path of Suluk, which is a long journey, and for a very noble, high maqsad and objective, has been reduced to nothing but a short, mukhtasar, a very short and summary version and path, and a very lowly objective is what they have made themselves content with. They have brought it down. So what Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi is saying is that some people, due to the lack of courage and willpower, they don't want to do the mujahidah. They don't want to give up their TVs favorite programs. They don't want to give up their favorite music that they listen to. They want to find a fatwa that allows them to carry on doing it. It's halal. They don't want to not take out a mortgage. They want to find a fatwa that says it's halal to take out a haram mortgage with interest paying. Because these are all things of the nafs. This is my explanation, obviously. These are not the words of Mujaddid Thani Abdullah Ali, but that's what he's saying. The people are not willing. Why is this path long? It's long because one by one you have to uproot the diseases of the heart. How many of us can say we don't have any ill feeling towards any brother or sister when they say something, when they do something, or somebody from the past? Very few of us. It's because we have to remove this illness of malice from the heart and from the nafs, from the heart, and it needs to be removed. So all these things take time. It takes a one-on-one regular contact with the sheikh who becomes the personal trainer for that individual. As I always say, who doesn't know which brother and sister, which man and woman, Muslim, does not know what they have to do? They know what's halal, what's haram. They know the haram things. Let's not call them halal and haram for a moment. Let's call them things that displease Allah and please Allah. Allah is our beloved. So things that please Allah are the permissible things. And the things that displease Allah are called the impermissible things. Who does know what they are? But you still need the encouragement, the wisdom, and the foresight and the experience of somebody who's gone through exactly the same journey that you're going through with their sheikh. That's the whole purpose of it. Otherwise, it's the blind leading the blind. If we're all left to our own devices. I wrote a poem after we met our sheikh. I was actually told in a dream to give bay'ah to my sheikh. I did istikhara for a long time. And I wanted a sheikh who was a Sayyid and from the descendants of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because I know it'd be easy to love him. And without love, you cannot benefit from your sheikh. And he had to have this quality and that quality. So in my dream, I was told, go and give bay'ah. And name was given to me. I didn't even know who he was. Never heard of him. Right? So we made inquiries and finally found out who he was. Khair. I wrote a poem when we saw the benefit of his du'as, of his tawajjuh, of his tarbiyah, of his patience, of his love, of his kindness. He would say, I wrote, just say, qadr rahbarnahu, qadr manzil kajani. The one who does not appreciate the guide, it means he does not appreciate the journey and the path towards Allah. If you want to get from A to B, we live in Britain here. Some of you live in different countries, no problem. Consider your country. If you want to leave by ship or by air to any destination and catch a plane, catch a flight, and you really need to get there, Allah forbid, if somebody's parents live in a different country and it's their janazah and somebody wants to attend, it's happened. And they want to, it happened with my own father. Our father was here, and his mother and father were both in Pakistan, and they both passed away years apart from one another, but took a flight to be there for the janazah, for the ghusl and so forth. So that journey, how important must it have been for my father and for anybody else in that situation, right? At that time, you'd appreciate the person appreciates somebody who can take them on that journey because they know they have to be there. Nothing matters to them, no food, no drink, no good words from anybody, no gifts, no praise from people. Look what an amazing person you are. All that matters is I need to be with my beloved parent, deceased or not or ill. Doesn't matter, I need to be with them. At that time, at that moment, you appreciate the captain or the pilot of the plane or the captain of the ship, right? Or if it's a train journey, then the person who's the train driver. Whoever it is, you appreciate the person who takes you on the journey and gets you to the destination. That's the purpose of what we're trying to say. Similarly, jise qadr, jise, that person, qadr, does not have appreciation, rahbar of the guide. She say qadr rahbarnahu, the one who does not appreciate the rahbar, the guide, will say qadr manzilni, he does not appreciate the path. So Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi is saying that due to people's lack of willpower and courage to go along this path of getting all these things removed from the nafs and have the islah made on a one-on-one basis with the sheikh, and because these shuyukh kamil are very few. Nowadays, people get khilafat and ijaza like they're handing out candy and biscuits. And some tariqahs, they just have this thing that if a person buys enough gifts for the sheikh, if he serves the sheikh enough, and if he opens enough doors for the sheikh, and he does that for 3 years at least, then he's a khalifa. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. This is what Mujaddid al-Islam is talking about. They've made it cheap. He's saying that they've just achieved a little bit at the initial thing, the jazbah, and they have left the real thing, which is self-effacement, deep-rooted humility and tawadu, only wanting the best for everybody, making dua, weeping at night with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and traversing the spiritual journey where you're in tasawwur, spiritually, you're transported to other places with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his ma'iyyah, feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence, understanding the meaning of the verse, wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum, and we are with you and nobody else is with you. I'll complete this paragraph from Mujaddid Sani Ali. There'll be a repetition in this, and it's necessary because I'm translating from my own memory without any notes, just from the original. As has been seen from observation, that nowadays the students of tariqah and tasawwuf and the path of suluk, due to the lack of willpower and courage and the lack of availability of a Shaykh Kamil and Mukammal, they have reduced the long path of Suluk into a mere short journey, and the great and grand maqsad and objective that has been placed in Suluk by the akabir, by the seniors of the past, has been reduced to something small and something lowly in terms of an objective. They have brought down the mayar, the benchmark. And whatever lowly thing they achieved, they were content with that little bit of achievement in the beginning. And they considered this to be the maqsad. And considered themselves, instead of a beginner, they considered themselves to be Muntahi, and consider oneself to be a kamil, a perfect guide. And those ahwal, this is very important, this sentence is about to come. And those ahwal which are discovered or experienced, sorry, they're experienced is a better word to use. Those ahwal, states and feelings, spiritual conditions that are experienced by the Muntahi. Yes, those ahwal that the adept, the perfect ones experience at the end of their journey through much toil and effort and steadfastness and continuity and istiqamah, these lowly individuals with lack of willpower and courage however did develop in themselves the ability. Listen to this very carefully, inshallah. I'll try and translate it and then refine the English translation to make it easier to understand. Due to their initial jazbah that they had gained, meaning attraction towards Allah, we've spoken about this in Maktub 62, they were able to develop in themselves quwwat mutakhayyala. Quwwat mutakhayyala. Quwwat means strength, power. Mutakhayyala means the power of thought. They were able to develop such power of thought that, and experience such ahwal in the beginning stages that they were confused that they've achieved the end. Thus, they were able to affect other people's hearts See, when Mujaddid, I'm just going to pause there for a moment. It's good because we can. There's so much to unpack from this first paragraph, and inshallah, you'll get the notes, meaning the translation for this. Those who can read the Farsi can read the original Farsi. Those who need the Urdu translation can read our Grand Sheikh Urdu Tarjuma, and the English we're doing as we're going along. I don't think. We can use Sheikh Wajiuddin's Rahmatullah Ali, which I'll scan. I'll get the brothers to scan and send through, inshallah ta'ala. What he's saying is that people who start dhikr in the Naqshbandi, he's talking about the Naqshbandi tariqah, understand this. This is very important to understand. He's telling his own brother, Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali, Maktub 287. He's saying that when you start doing the path of muraqabah, dhikr, whatever the dhikr the Sheikh has given, and you're doing it regularly, it develops a certain amount of nur and kashish. It pulls you and attracts you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the realm of angels. It takes you to that realm because the ruh is not from this realm, is it? It's from the realm of Malaya al-A'la, from the heavenly abode. It was created in the heavenly abode, celestial abode. The jism, the jasad, the body is of this dunya. And then it was combined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So when it was combined, then it was sent down to earth, and this is where we are, and this is the soul that will continue. So silly are those people, and fools are those people who spend all their time on the body and forget the actual, this is just a vessel, and the real thing that needs to be worked on using the body is the ruh. Because the a'mal need to be done with our hands and feet and our tongue and our eyes and our ears. And the sins that we have to stay away from are the hands, the eyes, and the ears, tongue, right? So that is what either tarnishes the ruh or it makes it flourish and blossom into a beautiful flower that connects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mujaddid Rahmatullah is saying that when you start doing the adhkar of the tariqah and you start getting tawajjuh of your shaykh and he's making dua for you, that person who starts going down this path and they start refraining from haram to some extent, there's a big change takes place in the ruh immediately. Especially in Naqshbandi tariqah, because your lata'if become start getting active. Lata'if are the sensing points of the ruh, right? Imagine it, it's a crude example, but imagine you've got sensing points. You know, like somebody goes into hospital and they put these wires on their chest with stickers to check their monitor them electronically, right? For ECGs and so forth, for the heart and other things. So, hey, they monitor them. So, these sensing points are of the ruh. Qalb ruh, sir khafi, akhfa, nafs. These are all sensing points of the ruh. They exist. In the Hindu culture, they also were able to discover them. They call it chakra. In the Chinese culture, they know them as the qi meridian. That's what they call it. And you can use it for good or you can use it for shar. The Hindus and the I've sat with, I used to study martial arts with one of our teachers many years ago, Wing Chun. Kung Fu it was. And in that, the person who taught us was Muslim, but he studied under Chinese and others, and we studied under some other people as well. And they had, you would be amazed what they were able to do. It was nothing short of what would some would consider a miracle, but we knew it was not a miracle. It was istidraj. It was magic in the sense that, not magic in the sense of sorcery, but it or sihr, but it was the ability to be able to do so. It's istidraj, that's the best translation. There is no real translation, istidraj. It means something that even a kafir is able to do because of focusing on that part of their ability. Let me give you an example to make sense. I can use my hand to remove a thorn from a Muslim's hand or foot. That's hurting them. They've hurt themselves. I can use my hand to alleviate some pain, carry somebody's shopping, to help my wife when she is doing something, to assist her, right? Similarly, I can use my hand. Similarly, the similarly, you can use your hand for sure. So I'm saying that anything can be used for good or for evil, for khair or for sharr. And it's very important that a person realizes that the lata'if in themselves are neither good nor bad, they're just sensing points. But they have an ability, if worked on. Now, when the Hindus work on their chakra, which is the lata'if, and they're able to do tasarruf, create doubts in people's minds and their spiritual state. It's happened. One of our shuyukh, he was in a train in India, and a Hindu yogi, a sadhu, was sitting in front of him. He closed his eye and he started doing some mesmerism through his tawajjuh. The Hindu was doing his tawajjuh on the sheikh, but the sheikh was no mediocre sheikh. He's a kamil, mukammal sheikh. So he realized it. So Hazrat, he went into our sheikh, he went into muraqabah also. The Hindu got up and he jumped off the train. He couldn't take it. So he was using this for sharr, the sheikh used it for khair. So these things exist, right? So what happens is, Mujaddid Abdullah is speaking about is that these are latent, hidden from the eyes, abilities that people have. They become awakened. You know, when you start focusing silently or with dhikr, it's with La ilaha illallah, you're not just doing La ilaha illallah, you're focusing on the words, you're doing it with the intention of growing closer to Allah, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has an effect. It awakens the lata'if. It doesn't matter if you do silent muraqabah. There are shuyukh who, and we have seen it in Sana'a Tariqah, alhamdulillah, we give loud dhikr to some people, we give silent dhikr to some people. In the end, everybody comes on to silent dhikr. But even with loud dhikr, people's lata'if become activated. 100%. It's the dhikr of the same Allah. It's not that somebody's doing a dhikr of Ram, Krishna, and Buddha, and the other one's taking the name of Allah. They're all taking the name of Allah, some loud, some silently, some softly. It still has the same effect. It awakens the ruh. So Mujaddid al-Salih is saying when you start connecting in this way to the sensing points, the lata'if, what ends up happening is you develop a quwwah, a strength. Because you've developed an ability to focus for a while, you can use that focus ability to affect other people and move them. So you'll see some majlis where there are people that are, the sheikh is just doing tawajjuh and they're just shaking and they're moving. Some of it's acting, some of it's made, but some of it is real. And the reason they do that is because they're using their tasawwuf and they think, wah, wah, we've achieved it. Look how big my sheikh is. Now how great my sheikh is. He makes people jump up and down. Have you been created to jump up and down? What are you, a kangaroo? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We were created to do sujood and to Allah, not to the grave and not to the sheikh. We were created to implement the sunnah. That's what Mujaddid Salih Abdullah is speaking about. He's saying, he's crying almost in this letter. He's hurt. He's saying that I've seen that people have reduced this noble path into something so lowly and they're so excited about it. This long path of purifying the nafs of the diseases so that the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his love can shine on the heart and person can be a reflection of all that is good in the dunya and the akhirah and be a source of blessing, not for just himself, but for every other creation. Instead of that, they've made it just about moving and dancing and jumping and crying. These are just kayfiyat. These are ahwal. So Mujaddid al-Sani uses the word ahwal. These kayfiyat and ahwal, they come and go. He's saying these are just byproducts. You're going to get these anyway. It's like when Allah, When we sat with our chef, I'll share something with you. I don't think I've shared this before with anyone, but I was sitting with my chef. I may have shared it in the previous dars as well, that we were Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. I was moved by what the Sheikh was saying so much, and what he was teaching us, the love of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I was weeping profusely. I couldn't stop crying at all. I couldn't stop crying. I would stop, and it was just, and it was deep, and it was felt in the ruh. It was shaking within in a good way. But my Sheikh, because he did not even want me to see, he didn't want me to get lost in this kayfiyat, this feeling. It's a good feeling. You feel close to Allah. When you're weeping, you, even if you're weeping because you feel sinful, you still feel close to Allah as his sinful servant, right? So because he didn't want me to get lost in the crying and the tears, and for the other people, there's so many people that were there to start saying, MashaAllah, look at this brother, look at this person, SubhanAllah, look how close he is to Allah. He's moved by every word into tears and so forth, right? The Sheikh, what did he do? He did my islah there and then. He said, once, he didn't say it directly. He said, once upon a time, there was a man and he was in a big gathering. Listen to this, and this incident that the Sheikh narrated, our own Sheikh. And he said that once there was a great gathering, and there's a talk, an Islamic talk being given by a sheikh. And, people were moved, but one person, a revert, he was crying so much. People thought, SubhanAllah, if only I had the iman of this brother. SubhanAllah, look at Allahu Akbar. What nur there must be going on in his heart right now, shining down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he must have got some serious tawajjuh. So people asked him, H1, SubhanAllah, please make dua for us. You were crying so much. What were you thinking about? What part of the talk were you thinking about? He goes, no, all of a sudden I started thinking about my cat. It died a few months ago. I was missing my cat. I was crying for my cat. SubhanAllah. Astaghfirullah. A'udhu billahi minash. So my sheikh said that on purpose to do my islah in public. Because that's the test, isn't it? If the murid gets told off in private, it's fine. He's told me off in private. But if he's being told off blatantly, directly, or indirectly in front of everyone, that's the real test. Let's see how many people come back to the Sheikh. I knew the Sheikh did it for my Islam. And I didn't really care because I knew why I was crying for and it was sincere. So until the feeling, so the feeling wouldn't stop, right? And it was the Sheikh's way of testing as well, that if he's sincere and this is from Allah, it will continue. And if it's not sincere and it's from Allah, then it will stop. Because if he's putting it on thinking about something else, khair. And then Hazrat Hafizullah Ta'ala, he lowered his head for maybe less than a minute. And at that point, all my tears stopped. I couldn't cry anymore. My heart wanted to cry, but I couldn't physically cry. There was like a weight in my chest. And I knew that the Sheikh Tawajjuh had done this. So I took my topi off and I went in front of the Sheikh. And I said, you must forgive me and return to me that kayfiyat that Allah had granted me. He said, don't be wrapped up in these things. These are the distractions and the dramas of this, of the path. Don't get lost in this. There's a higher objective to achieve. And then for the next so many days in the Khanqah, I couldn't weep. I couldn't cry at night. In Tahajjud, I couldn't cry. After my dhikr, I couldn't cry. In my dua, I couldn't cry. Like my heart had become like stone. And then the next few days later in the majlis, I was sitting there. Obviously, the Sheikh didn't say I did it. He didn't say I did it, but I knew that the Sheikh told me blatantly. So the Sheikh then said, sometimes A person needs to show their sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they need to still worship Allah and still continue with their dhikr and muraqbah, even if they're unable to enjoy some of the kayfiyat that they used to have before. Subhanallah. He was training, developing, right? He was doing a tarbiyah, right? That are you worshipping Allah for the kayfiyat, for the feeling, for these ahwal? Are you worshipping Allah because you love Him? And he said that something like this happened to my own sheikh. He said, I told him that I was getting kashf and able to read people's minds and hearts. And he said, choro, choro, choro. These are the distractions and toys and amusements of the path. This is not the real maqsad of the path. Exactly what Mujib Dasani Abdullah is. Then many days later, after many, many days later, weeks later, in fact, when I returned back to England, and I wrote to Sheikh that at least pray to Allah now that I'm pre no, in fact, before going to Hajj, he'd already left for Hajj. I was going to Hajj and or Umrah just before Hajj in Ramadan, and I said, Sheikh, if I am unable to cry even in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, then how will I benefit? That would be a great loss. As soon as he read my message and I communicated that to him, it was received by him, everything returned. So the Shaykh has tawajjuh and quwwah, right? But in our tariqah, we don't use it to affect people to create a hysteria, right? We want the murid or the murida, the brother or the sister, to develop their own tawajjuh and quwwah and strength such that they stay focused. Real tawajjuh, what's the point of having this tawajjuh by doing muraqbah every day and doing dhikr and then still doing haram on the weekend or at night time or when nobody's looking? There's no point. The Hindu can also do tawajjuh. The Shaolin monks can put a spear to his neck and not pierce his neck. People can walk on coal, burning cinder, and not burn their feet. What these are? What's the objective here? There's no purpose served by this. There's no companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam achieved through this. So the real purpose is to become abd, to become the ibad of Rahman, to become servants of Allah, and to be lost in the love of Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Verily, the believers are staunch in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. हम जहाँ जाते हैं तेरा फसाना छेड़ देते हैं, कोई महफिल हो तेरा रंग महफिल देख लेते हैं. Wherever we go, it's you that we'll talk about. Wherever I sit, it's you that I will discuss. Because a person discusses the thing that they love. If somebody loves a particular video game, that's all they talk about. If somebody loves a particular sport, that's all they talk about. If somebody loves a particular item of clothing or food, that's all they discuss. And if somebody loves Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's what they discuss. But we have to make that a genuine thing by doing the regular dhikr that we do and coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, I will pause here. And the reason being is I want to take some initial questions from, not from you, Suhail, not yet, but from others for the next 5 minutes or so. And then once the material and the translation in English is there with you, then you can follow more. We'll break it down line by line. Those who wish to make notes can make notes. Because this is the thing with Zoom. Alhamdulillah, some people may be in a state of wudu, and making dua beforehand. Allah grant me the khair from the Maktubat of Imam Rabbani and from our teacher. And there may be others who are just, in their casual clothing, sitting down, lying down, feet up, pillow under the head, headphones in the ear, AirPods, earphones in the ear, relaxed completely, no adab, nothing. And they think that this is a learning session. It's not a learning session like that. I'd rather have one person in a session, one person, but they have the adab and the adab, and they understand that this path is all about love and adab. Al-Tariqah is not about numbers. If you want numbers, there are many tariqahs out there. You'll find them on YouTube and on Instagram and Facebook. They have pictures of their sheikh from every angle. Go find them there. And you'll find the tariqahs where they all jump up together and they all sit down together and their turbans are huge, mashallah. And their clothes are just perfectly ironed and they're white, gleaming. There's no tarbiyah. And that's somewhere else. We want to remain unknown, just do the work of Allah for the sake of Allah. And we want those people who want to remain unknown and silently and in a sirran fashion, only doing the dhikr of Allah whilst fulfilling their duties and obligations to their loved ones, to their family, and to this dunya, achieve a state of wilaya and love and companionship with the Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's that companionship? One of abd and one of mawla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, and we must remove all the impediments of our nafs that stop us from being his servant when we're by ourselves, in the heart, in the mind, through our eyes, through our ears, through our hands and feet, inshallah ta'ala. So those who wish to ask questions can ask questions. You can unmute your mic. You don't need to type, but you can unmute your mic. Sisters can type it, inshallah ta'ala, throughout any questions.
Sheikh Saab, I've got one quick question, please. It's in regards
Please.
to Mujaddid al-Alfi Thani, and also Sheikh Munawwar Thanvi. Are they both called Mujaddid al-Alfi Thani?
No,
I get
the Ummah, there's only one Mujaddid Al-Thani. Mujaddid Al-Thani is Sheikh Ahmed Sirhindi Farooqi Al-Hanafi, who came centuries ago. And people refer to Hakim Al-Ummah as Mujaddid Al-Milla. But many people refer to many Shuyukh as Mujaddid. There's nothing wrong with that. Sheikh Mufti Mahmud Effendi was also Mujaddid of his area and of that region of that time. And every 100 years there's a Mujaddid. Some ulama say, some mashayikh, some sufi say, that there's a Mujaddid in different lines of work as well. And then there's a general Mujaddid, right? There's a Mujaddid in the teaching of Hadith and Quran, reviving the best way to teach people Quran and to make them Huffaz and Qari. And they'll do Tajdeed, they'll use new tools, new methods, new ways of creating a new wave of Huffaz and Qura. Our Shaykh Qari Hassan Ahmed Makki was a Sufi in Mecca. He was one of those. Amazingly, he memorized the Quran in 5.5 months and mastered Qiraat Ashra, not just Sab'a, Qiraat Ashra with its riwayah within 3 days. 3 days, not years, 3 days. Right? And he had a method of mind mapping techniques that he would teach to master Arabic and Qira'at Tajweed. So you can get a Mujaddid in different realms and different subjects within the deen. But overall, there is a one Mujaddid. And the final Mujaddid would be Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. Any other
So,
questions?
Ajay, sorry, just so Mujaddid al-Alfi Thani, Sheikh Ahmed Sirhindi, coming Mujaddid is Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. And also, so is the was
No,
there
not current.
Mujaddid,
Last one. Last one. The
the
last
last
one, not the
one,
current. The
and
last one will be.
G, and the Mujaddid of Alfi Awwal, who was that?
Rasulullah was the Nabi then, is the Nabi now. So his Nabuwa is the one that gives the faith and the spiritual benefit to all the Mashayikh and Awliya first, number one. That's what sustains them, even now. Number two, the thing to understand is that they say, Sayyid Abdul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala has written a book on it. It's been translated in English. It's an amazing kitab, Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. And in that, he's written the different opinions of the Mashayikh. He's listed the Mujaddideen according to him, and he was a great Muhaqqiq. And he writes that the first one, a lot of ulama agree, was Khalif Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. And then after him, the likes of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and the likes of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Imam Ghazali, Salahuddin Ayyubi, right? Not just all Sufis, but Mujaddids in different realms. And then he speaks about the greater Mujaddids in the Sufi path, Sheikh Nizamuddin Awliya, and the Mashaykh of the Chishtiya Tariqah, and then Mujaddid al-Thani. When he came to Mujaddid al-Thani, he dedicated a whole volume just to Mujaddid al-Thani, because he's not just the Mujaddid of the century, he's the Mujaddid of the millennium, of 1,000 years. So any Wali Allah that comes now has to get faith from Mujaddid al-Thani, has to get benefit from Mujaddid al-Thani, and they're benefiting from him. Whether the Chishtiya, Qadriya, Naqshbandiya, Sohrawardiya, Qalandriya, Rifa'iya, Shadiliya, they're all getting faith from Mujaddid al-Thani, alhamdulillah. Ji.
Sheikh Sa, where does Maulana Thanviram, where does he sit in this? So he's not a Mujaddid.
Nobody knows who's a Mujaddid, who's not a Mujaddid. It's people's opinion, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's people's opinion. People can say that so-and-so is a Mujaddid. And the most important thing is, nobody's going to ask us in the grave. No angels are going to ask us in the grave, do you know who or how many Mujaddids there are? So where we know those who have passed away, the pious predecessors, Mujaddids.
Sorry, Sheikh, your voice is cut out.
Why should we dirty our heart thinking ill of anybody, and it won't benefit us in any way? So that's why. But because we're studying the works of Mujaddid al-Thani, Abdullah Ali, he's the Mujaddid of the millennium, 1,000 years, inshallah ta'ala. We have 3 minutes, inshallah ta'ala, so any other questions? Dr. Adeshina, any question from you?
Assalamu
Alaikum salam
alaikum,
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you? Okay.
fine, sir. For now, I don't have any question. Maybe as the lecture
MashaAllah.
continues in future, I will have.
InshaAllah.
Thank you,
InshaAllah.
sir.
InshaAllah. No problem. Wa iyyakum. Wa iyyakum. May Allah bless you. May Allah keep you steadfast in all of us on the same path. Junaid, do you have any questions? Turn will come to her in a second, inshallah. Junaid. Okay, yeah. G. Suhail Khan, sir.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
Wabarakatuh. Okay.
Alhamdulillah. I hope you are well as well. I wanted to ask in relation to we read about some personalities that they haven't done any effort. They haven't done any suluk, and yet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a jazb that comes, and one day they're a king of Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi. One day he's a king, and then the next day he's in the wilderness. So what does this phenomenon be, and where does it group into the types of jazb? How
Good
do we
question.
define it?
Gee. I've understood the question. Jazakallah. Some people, they're pre-selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, everybody's pre-selected. You, me, us in this dars together participating, studying the Maktubat of Mujaddid al-Thani, aren't we? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote this in Qadr. Allah mahfuz through the qalam. It's been written that we were to meet like this, we were to discuss these points. So everyone's pre-selected to an extent, right? Guidance and hidayah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some people are so chosen that they are above others, like the prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Some are higher, even amongst the prophets, some are higher than the others, like the Ulul Azm, Min Rusul, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and of course, the leader of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you have the same after that. Amongst the companions, you have some senior, and you have those that were not senior. Amongst the awliya, you have the same. Some are pre-selected by Allah, and they are granted a purity of spirit, akhlaq, from a very young age, and they're protected from sin, mahfud. They're not masoom, they're not sinless. Allah protects them from sin from a very young age. And everybody that ever meets them, their family members, their friends, in private and in open, everybody only has good things to say about the person. These people are very rare, and they have a natural inclination towards ibadah. They have a natural detesting for anything that distracts them from drawing closer to Allah and serving His religion, right? So you see the lives of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahmatullah Ali, that Khidr alayhi salam actually came and told his ustad that he's been destined for some great things by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angels would come in the form of human beings and take him to his madrasa, right? And he wouldn't play around like the other kids. Now, playing around as a child is not haram. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it's very beneficial for a kid to play. It's very good. You shouldn't stop a child from playing. But they have a natural inclination towards other things because they're destined for higher things, right? And they're able to achieve great things. Mujaddid al-Thani, Alhamdulillah, is obviously an amazing example. Jalad bin Rumi, Rahmatullah, Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah. So sometimes some people, they may not be from a young age, they may be in a life of sin, and they have done many things that are haram. But then their time comes, like Shaykh Fudayl bin Iyad, Rahimullah Ta'ala, one of the foremost after the Sahaba, after Tabi'un came his time. He's in the Chishtiya Tariqah and other tariqahs also. He was a person who used to steal from people. He used to rob people. He was a daku, a dacoit, right? But he did tawbah, and he returned everyone's things. Those whose things he could not return, he asked them for forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed. He gave bay'ah to Sheikh Khwaja Abdul Wahid bin Zayd. In fact, he gave bay'ah to Sheikh Ibrahim bin Adam, actually. He gave bay'ah to Sheikh Ibrahim bin Adam. Sheikh Ibrahim bin Adam gave bay'ah to Sheikh Khwaja Abdul Wahid bin Zayd, who gave bay'ah to Sheikh Hassan al-Basri, who gave bay'ah to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, who was obviously the murid and the murad of Rasulullah. So some people are pre-selected in that way, right? That they get, they change, their life changes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Tawbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kullu bani Adama khatta'un, all of the children of Adam are sinners, all of us, you and I. Wa khayru khatta'in at-tawwabun. And the best amongst the sinners are the ones who repent. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "If you were Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the nation did not sin, I would destroy that nation and make a nation and a people that did sin but did tawbah afterwards." Because Allah likes us to turn to Him when you really know that you don't deserve it and you really know that you've wronged. That realization, that's ihsan. That's kayfiyat al-ihsan. Sometimes it only happens once we've gone from pillar to post. As we say in Urdu, tokre ka kake, dil duk duk se bhar bhar ke. After suffering pain and difficulties and anxiety and stress in life, after betrayal and heartache and being heartbroken, and then you realize only Allah is mine. Only Allah is mine. Nobody can help you but my Allah. Abdul Halim, what's your question?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ.
السلام ورحمة الله.
At the moment, and the only question would be how to personally reach this state you are talking about.
By remaining, finding a sheikh, and making one-on-one contact with the Shaykh, and to not be distracted by anything else, but to focus on the regimen, the syllabus, and the course that the Sheikh lays out, and then to be steadfast on this and be prepared. Be prepared for all the difficulties that may come, and to do shukr for all the khair that comes. And when a person makes effort, Allah rewards that effort. Allah doesn't waste somebody's effort, man or woman or child. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَيَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah is the most generous. He is the most generous. He's Al-Kareem. Kareem means the one being given does not even deserve, like me. So Allah's karam is such that He gives us, though that we're not deserving of it. Who deserves to be even Muslim, let alone Ummati, the Prophet, let alone understand about tasawwuf and these realms of spirituality and this higher art of living? Who knows about this? Very few people. Everyone's in anxiety and pain and wallowing in difficulties, and they're trying to reinvent the wheel. But the wheel's already here. The art of living has already been given to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu and demonstrated again and again, century after century after century after century, by thousands, tens of thousands, if not millions, of awliya and mashayikh, again and again, even in this day and age. So we should adopt their company, do take on the advice, and be very open with them about sins that are being committed and the good that's being done. Anybody who hides their information from a personal trainer or a GP can never benefit. They're just wasting their time and everybody else's. And Allah sees everything. So a person should remain sincere, do shukr, and then benefit from whatever Allah has granted. Allah grants. In this day and age, because there's so much haram and distraction out there, from mobile phones to new conversations that are taking place between relatives and friends, Allahu Akbar, that if a person starts doing amal on this, Allah grants them a closeness very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. But a person should make dua. May Allah grant me the tawfiq. May Allah reward all the brothers and sisters who continue to make an effort to learn and draw closer to Allah SWT. Do shukr on that. I will do shukr on it as well. Allahumma lakal hamdu lakal shukr. Because in this day and age, to be able to gather, to study these things and to understand this art of living is a blessing, great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll meet next week at 2:30 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.